We are continuing to search out verses that probably we have never looked at before. These are brand new to most of us. We probably have never heard a sermon preached on these verses, and for good cause, and it's a wrong cause, but nevertheless we can understand why they are so negative so frequently. They talk about God's wrath, and we don't like that at all. But we have to hear about this simply because it's in the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and correction and training in righteousness. And so we must spend this time. And so again, we are continuing in our study. We've come down to Jeremiah chapter 6, and in our last study, we have an interesting verse. This again is one of these verses that God inserts right in the middle of his indictment, in the middle of his complaint against the local congregations. And here he says, "Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited." And that is a solemn warning. Now, is this suggesting that maybe if the church got right, that his soul would not depart? Well, we don't have to answer that question. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how the church is going to go. And he had worked out his whole plan so that in such and such a time, the great tribulation would begin. God would be finished with the local congregation. So it is all going to happen according to schedule, exactly according to schedule. But nevertheless, until it actually does happen, the warning is there. It stands that, and finally, when it does happen, when judgment does happen, we can only conclude, oh, yeah, God said that if we didn't straighten up, his soul would depart from Jerusalem, and that has happened. And that emphasizes that the church has not listen to the chastenings nearly as much as they should have. They have not reacted the way they should have, as they became too complacent, too self-assured that all was well in their congregation. Now notice it says here, "Lest my soul depart from thee." And we wonder, well, how does that relate to God? Go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and we can look at a number of passages, but we'll only look at Isaiah 53 because it's very, very pertinent in this connection. We read in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him," to bruise who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? He is God as well as man. "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." This is Isaiah 53 verse 10. When we take that information back into Jeremiah 6, this warning becomes enormously ominous. Because throughout the church age, what was the strength of the churches, the local congregation? What really was their strength? Was it their human wisdom? Was it the fact that they had worked out a very interesting plan to get people to read the Bible? Was it because they had built a beautiful building that was very attractive to the neighborhood? Was it because they became a real powerhouse in the neighborhood to assist the poor and the homeless and the orphans, and people could come there and have all their physical needs taken care of? Is this where the strength was? And we know, of course not. The strength was in the fact that God was there. And that there were those, either a few or many, depending on the individual local congregation, who actually became new creatures in Christ. And so this is where the power was, in the fact that God was present there. And when he is warning, "Be thou instructed, be thou chastened, O Jerusalem." And notice he's talking to Jerusalem now. He's not talking about the whole wide world. He's talking about the local congregations that are found throughout the world, again and again, the focus is on Jerusalem or Zion or the children of Benjamin or Judea. They are all tied always back again to the external representation of the kingdom of God. And he is saying, O Jerusalem, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land and not inhabited. And that is precisely what finally has happened. After 1955 years, God finally has indicated the time has come. And the results of his warning are in evidence that God has abandoned the church. My soul has departed from thee. Exactly as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it says that the man of sin will be ruling in the congregation, will have his seat in the congregation, or as it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, or that who the one who restrains, and the only one he's restraining is Satan, has been taken out of the midst. And so God has warned that this would happen, and it has happened. And that's what makes these times so terribly traumatic, because to think of all of these local congregations no longer having the presence of God within them. And that's why, and I say this again and again with great sorrow, we watch the newspapers or we read the periodicals, and every now and then here's a great big mega church and they are doing something that we just shake our head. They have a football Sunday, or they have a Halloween party, or they have whatever it may be. And we understand, of course, because after all, if God is not guiding them, if he's not present there, they are simply using human wisdom. That's all they have going for them. Only human wisdom. And human wisdom isn't worth very much at all as compared with the infinite wisdom of God. Well, then it goes on in verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets or from the... Actually, it's the word baskets, it's a word that could be translated tendrils, or turn your hand back from the branches of the vine. It's not clear, but in either case, the meaning is very clear. You see, we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 2. Let's read it again. It helps sometimes to look at it again. In verse 1, and Jesus, this is Matthew 24, verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And the next verse tells us that God has in mind the end of the world, because the disciples are guided by God to ask this question, and their question is recorded for us so that we are learning what God would teach us here. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? In other words, when the temple buildings, there's not one stone left upon another, identifies with the end of the world. And so that makes us know for positive certain we have to look at this spiritually. And when there's not one stone left upon another, it means God is finished with the churches. And that parallels what we're reading here in Jeremiah chapter 6. And they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets or from the tendrils. And what it really means is that the picture is that someone is in the vineyard and they're finding the last grapes. And you're reaching out your hand to find another grape, and you put your hand back. There's no more grapes there. It is thoroughly gleaned. There's not one stone left upon another. Now, of course, at this point, again, I have to emphasize that we do not dictate as to how God is doing this. And we know when we study the end of Jerusalem in 587, after 587, which was the official year when they were destroyed, totally destroyed. Nevertheless, there were still bands of people going into captivity that were still leaving after 587. And while we have an official year, which might identify with 1988 AD, we don't have to say this authoritatively, but it may identify with that. That does not mean that suddenly all the churches are empty. God is continuing to bring people out, and we don't know how long this will be, but, and that is what encourages us to keep praying from the outside, keep praying for the individuals within the churches and hoping that they will hear the truths of the Bible so that God will work through that to finally drive them out or cause them to see that they have to come out. But the fact is that it's God's plan that church, and this is true of every local church, finally is going to be thoroughly gleaned. There will not be one true believer left, I believe, by the time we get to Judgment Day. And that's why this is such a time of tribulation as we contemplate this and see our loved ones and our dear friends who cannot see the truth. And we wonder, oh my, is it possible that they will see the truth in time before the end of the world? Well, this is the emphasis here, I believe. And who is doing the gleaning? Well, you see, God ultimately is doing the gleaning, but who is he employed? Remember, he said in Jeremiah 6, verse 1, evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. And we know as we tie these verses into the rest of the Bible, God has loosed Satan so that he comes there to do this destruction. And as he becomes more and more in place in the churches, the true believers, as God is active in cleansing the church, that is, they are being driven out, or they are finally realizing God has commanded us to come out. Maybe one of the driving forces, I don't know for sure how effective this is working, but here is someone in the church, and the church makes another rule. That's, we're going to have a Halloween party, let's say. They never have had a Halloween party before. Or name any kind of a thing. And this individual just shakes his head. What's happening to our congregation? And so as Satan comes in, it makes the true believers that are still left there, a tiny, tiny little remnant that still have to be gleaned, more uncomfortable. And maybe this thing that I'm hearing, that this Outfit Family Radio is teaching, that we're at the end of the church age. Maybe there is some truth in that. Maybe I better start trying to find out about that. And in time they come out. We don't know how God works. He works in 1,000 different ways. But the vine is going to be completely gleaned. And we know that God used the figure of a vineyard in Isaiah 5 to illustrate the kingdom of God as it was developing throughout the New Testament era under the mandate given to the local congregations. And so now we get to verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. This again is so sad, because it is so relevant to what we see today. How many people are trembling before the Word of God? And if we're not trembling before the Word of God, the likelihood is we're not a believer at all. Because when we read the Word of God, we know that this is the Word coming from the mouth of the Judge of all the earth. And sin is such a serious matter, and sin is so serious in God's sight that I tremble, O Lord, that I might do it your way. I don't want to do it my way. But if we tremble before the Word of God, and then the warning comes, just like we're reading this warning, I have chastised you. Look at your history, and you've seen what happened to churches. Read Revelation 2 and 3 again, carefully, carefully, carefully. If you have some idea that your church is different than any of the others, and it's going to stand right up until the end, read Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 again. Because those churches, some of those were just as faithful as the most faithful church that could be found in the world today. And they had no guarantee, they had no assurance that they would exist forever. As a matter of fact, we know they did not exist forever. They finally came to an end. And if those lovely churches, like the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3, and if they ended, if they came to an end, then what assurance have you for your church? There is none. There is none. And so you better start listening carefully to the Word of God, and then you're going to find that indeed it's God's judgment finally has come upon the churches. Once again, we've come to the end of our study. Now, we've been learning a lot of things about the end of the church age and recognizing that God's judgment is upon the church. And my, we don't like it at all. We could weep as we think about our friends and our loved ones and pastors that we know and denominations that we have trusted that cannot see any of this. And yet we have to understand that God has to open the spiritual eyes of anyone who does come to truth. And if we have arrived at some understanding of these sad events, we can only thank the Lord for it, because we can't take any credit for it ourselves. Until our next study, may the Lord richly bless you.